doing this. They said when you got here, the whole thing started. I think you're the cause of all this. I think you're evil. Evil!
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
Monsters, John. Monsters from the It.
I'll follow you through.
Swallow this.
The power of Christ compels you. The power of Christ compels you.
Have you ever heard Candyman?
You love the cemetery, but you love to punish this jet.
It rubs the lotion on its skin or else it gets the hose again.
You don't know what death is.
This thing doesn't want to show itself. It wants to hide inside an imitation.
Messenger of God, you do need to stay here.
God is dead!
He is dead!
Satan lives!
Oh, it's alive! It's alive! It's alive! It's alive!
The animals are contagious! What fire!
It's time to keep your appointment with the Wicker Man.
Mr. Vice President, Mr. Secretary, the missiles are flying.
See me in hell, Mr. Thorne. There will be a shower out of senses.
I can't lie to you about your choices, but you have my sympathies.
This little procedure is called making a head on a stick.
I'm not gonna hurt you. I'm just gonna bash your brains.
There is no one watching out for us, Merrill. We are all on our own.
And there's no more room in hell for the dead who walk here.
The events of that day were to lead to the discovery of one of the most bizarre crimes in the annals of American history, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
She just goes a little mad sometimes. We all go a little mad sometimes.
Something in the middle! Shut the doors, my God! You gotta tell them! Solid Brain is people!
You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind to the outer limits.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Hello, welcome once again to Dark Discussions, your place for the discussion of horror, film, fiction, and all that's fantastic. I'm one of your co-hosts, Phil, from the state of New Hampshire in the US of A, and with me in the state of Michigan, who just got back from Texas.
This is Eric.
Eric, how's it going?
I am dope and fresh and not at all whack.
And did your cat miss you?
Yes, she did. I was assaulted for about 20 minutes when I walked in the door with kitty kisses.
Did she have any, parties that when you weren't around, things like that?
Well, if you include her shutting herself in the bathroom overnight a party, then yes.
Fortunately, it was only for the one night, though, right?
Yes, Dan found her the next morning.
So Dan went on. Gotcha. Yeah, very good. And in the state of New York?
Hey, this is Mike.
Mike, how's it going?
I'm a little under the weather, but I'm hanging in there.
Very good, very good. And in the state of Massachusetts?
Hi, everyone. This is Dave.
Dave, how's it going, man?
I'm doing well.
Excellent. And a Connecticut American?
This is Chrissy.
Chrissy, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. I feel good to be back.
Yeah, we missed you on the bucket list episode, the New Year's Eve episode last week.
And you know, I watched Scary Movie, too. You know, it's like awesome.
Oh, the comedy?
I'd never seen it.
Oh, how about that?
And I was like, oh, I'm going to watch Scary Movie. I've never seen it. It was fun. It was silly.
Yep,
it was different, you know. I still have to watch Nightmare on Elm Street, though. Maybe I'll do that for next year.
Ooh, interesting, yeah. Speaking of the saving of a cat named Dan, Eric, you do another podcast with your buddy Dan, the saver of a cat.
I do. It's a general interest podcast called the Askancy Podcast. That's spelled Askancity. You can find it on Google Play, Stitcher, and the iTunes Store.
And Mike, along with myself and Eric, you do a couple of other podcasts, and you also have a blog?
Yeah, the blog is Unnatural Selections, www.unnaturalselections.com. The other podcasts are TV show spinoffs of Dark Discussions, which would be, You Know Nothing, Jon Snow, a Westworld podcast. Nope. You know what I was trying to...
Oh, poor Mike.
You Know Nothing, Jon Snow, a Game of Thrones podcast, Bullets, Brothels, and Bots, That's the Westworld podcast, and Searching for American Gods.
Very good, very good. And Chrissy, you do things?
I do. I write short, dark fiction. And you can find out more about me at www.christypetersonschoonover.com.
Very good. And Abe, you do a genre book?
Yep, it's called A Realer Movie Reviewer. Best way to find it is visit our main site at darkdiscussions.com. And looking right inside, there'll be a link to my blog through there. And everything else that's been mentioned passing, we have a few other sites there if you want to take a look.
Very good, very good. So this, once again, is Dark Discussions, which is www.darkdiscussions.com, where we discuss a genre intelligently that deserves intelligence, which is horror, sci-fi, fantasy, thrillers, techno thrillers, mysteries, midnight movies, grindhouse, and cult films, among other things. Now, Eric, what can people do that they can find on the top page of darkdiscussions.com?
Well, at the top of the page, you will find a link to our Patreon account. Patreon is a service that lets people support their internet creators, including us. If you'd like to financially support the podcast, you can go to patreon.com/darkdiscussions or follow the link on our webpage, and you can donate on a monthly basis. And for every $5 a month that you donate, you get a chance to enter a topic for a drawing that we do on a quarterly basis, and have a chance to choose a topic for us to do an episode. For more details, you can go to patreon.com/darkdiscussions, and all the money we get is used for the purposes of podcasting, because we do have costs associated with server fees and computers and going to see movies and everything like that.
Yep, and next week we actually pull our quarterly movie from all our listeners that have contributed. And since not many people contribute, there's a good chance that we will be able to pull your film. So get on that if you're interested. Mike, what can people do on iTunes?
They can leave us reviews. If you go on iTunes or Google Play or Stitcher, you can leave us a review, and 1 star, 4 stars, 2.5 stars, whatever it is. 5-star reviews are the best, and just that helps raise our profile and helps raise our awareness and gets the word out there. Or you can just do word of mouth and say, hey, here's an episode of a podcast that talks about films coming out in 2018.
Yeah, there you go. And a couple of our listeners and friends of the podcast, Dan Anelli, Trin Sutherland, David Koning, always a weekly promote our podcast. When a new episode comes out, they put up the links. So thank you very much, and that would be a great way to help us as well. So go to Twitter, Facebook, whatever, and link our podcast and promote it. It would be greatly appreciated. Chrissy, your husband does a podcast. Why don't you let us know a little bit about it and some of the guests they recently had and where they can find it?
Yes, my husband does a podcast. He's been doing it for about 10 years. Actually, 10 years? Yeah. Oh
my God, he blows us away.
Well, he's coming up on the 11th anniversary. I think it's this February. And it was called the Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show, and now it's called Shadow Nation. I believe you can find it at shadownation.com. I can check that while I'm talking. But he has had so many members of the cast of The Walking Dead, it's, like, not even funny. He's had Pollyanna McIntosh. He's had the guy who's played Herschel. He's had Carol, I believe, has been on there. I mean, he's had, like, a lot of people from The Walking Dead. He's had people from movies recently, many movies. In fact, he had someone from, what was that movie with, Deep Blue Sea. He's had a couple of actors from them on very recently. It is, their website is https://shadownation.com. Joining the Saviors with Jason Warner Smith, Gavin from The Walking Dead was their most recent person. They've had Gavin, they've had Gregory, they've had Thomas Jane, who was Frank Castle from The Punisher.
All right,
They've had Cameron Grimm, director of The Man Who Loved Flowers. Keith Gordon, and Andy Cunningham from Christine. They've had Tim Matheson on, who's from Animal House, Buried Alive, and Killing Reagan. Everett McGill from Twin Peaks and Silver Bullet. Dee Wallace has been on. So they really have a lot of celebrities. And somehow they manage to get these people to tell them stories they don't tell anybody else. So if you're at all interested in that, I can go ahead and post the link on the Facebook page. My personal favorite that they did a few months ago was they had Samara from The Ring. Bonnie Morgan is the girl who actually plays Samara. And they've had our friend Patrick Ray. So anyway, that's the podcast he's been doing. And prior to them connecting with a lot of celebrities, they also did a lot of ghost hunters back in the day when paranormal investigating was really, really hot. And those shows are all there, and they're all on archives. And the podcast is completely free. So, you know, it's you don't pay for it. So, anyway, anything else you'd like me to say about it, Bill? I really appreciate the plug. He will definitely appreciate it.
No, but people definitely should check it out, because I know a lot of our listeners, like Trin Sutherland and such, listen to a lot of our friends that do podcasts as well, and that one may be one for him among everybody else who's listening to check out, for sure. So.
Yeah, and I know that we have a lot of friends who do horror film podcasts, and I think Ghostman and Demon Hunter, as it was called, or Shadow Nation, is a nice complement to that, because they go kind of behind the scenes with actors and directors and filmmakers, and so it kind of is a nice companion, as opposed to, you know, being competitive. There's so many good podcasts out there. You just don't have time for them all, but you should give it a shot and see if you like it, see if it's up your alley.
Very good, very good. Let's see, any news or anything that anybody wanted to bring up? I've seen ads for Westworld, but not the new season, but obviously that is something they're really trying to pump now because of the new season supposed to come out Q2 or Q3 of this year. Any other information that anybody has seen or wanted to talk about?
I did want to mention that the Terra Tantrums co-host or host of Terra Tantrums on Dark Discussions podcast, one Patrick Lacey, just announced that he's been engaged. So.
Oh, nice.
That's right. That's right. Yep. He's engaged on Christmas Eve, I think. So just a couple
of
days.
Yeah, it was a Christmas engagement.
Oh. Yeah, so that's congratulations to him. So that's fantastic. You can go to the Dark Discussions Facebook group and wish him congratulations if they like. All right. Any other news anybody wanted to bring up? Anything?
It's not news necessarily, but I did just want to mention quickly. I did go out of town for the holidays and just got back yesterday. And waiting for me was a package that somebody had sent. There was no name on it, but there was a little note offering me condolences for the passing of my older cat and a collector's edition of Dog Soldiers. And I'm pretty sure I know who sent it, and I'm pretty sure they listened to this podcast, so I just want to take a moment to say thank you.
That was nice. Is that a Scream Factory?
I believe it is, yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that is nice that someone did that. So,
yes, and also we should mention that we are all of us being stalked.
Yes.
By someone who has sent us
Baby Peach Fuzz.
Peach Fuzz, and there's no return address, and it was like the most effective Christmas gift I've ever gotten, because I thought not only was it brilliant, it was creepy as shit. I'm like, oh my God, somebody is watching me. Like, who's watching?
Somebody's watching me.
Yeah, totally. So we're all being stalked. So if we all suddenly disappear, you will know that Peach Fuzz was about.
Indeed. All right, so any other news, anything? All right, I guess not, but this episode is kind of news anyway. Mike, why don't you let folks know what this is kind of about? This is a different episode than our regular topics.
Well, this is our annual year in preview, so we're going to be looking ahead to what's coming out in 2018, what we're hoping to see. But we want to see what's coming out, whether it's a big budget film or a low budget film or whatever it may be, whatever's caught our interest.
That's right. That's right. So anything from 2018 that is genre related, so horror, sci-fi, fantasy, thrillers, techno thrillers, mysteries, and so forth. So we're not talking romantic comedies, dramas, or anything of that nature. But dark films are cult films and genre films, and there's a lot of them. Eric, you had made a point last week offline that you actually think these lists are unfortunate because everything on them is never either they don't come out or
I've never actually gone back and listened to one of these in retrospect, but I have a feeling that every year we talk about a bunch of movies and very few of those movies end up actually being released that year or being on our best of list at the end of the year.
Yeah, that's a fair point. A lot of these films either become dogs or they're released in 2019, even though they had a 2018 release date listed, and so forth. But at least it's a way that some of our listeners can mark down some films that sound interesting. We're as clueless about them as they are, but, you know, so be it. I did find out something curious the other day. When I was looking for 2018 films, I landed up on I have no idea how I landed up on it, but I remember it was Eli Roth or something, and then I looked at, believe it or not, there's going to be a second Eli. I was looking
through a second
film,
what?
Green Inferno.
Fucking sequel to fucking Green Inferno.
Because that piece of shit was not bad enough the first time.
Yeah, well, either way, I was looking through his filmography, and then I noticed Clown, and, you know, he had produced it, and I was looked at it. I go, I wonder whatever happened to that director, because he seemed pretty good. That director, the guy that did Clown, he actually did Spider-Man Homecoming.
Oh, so, did he?
Cool. Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah, so he's made it big. He also did Cop Car, the one with Kevin Bacon.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so he's actually made it big time, so good for him. It's always good to see these smaller directors like him and Mike Flanagan and various other ones just break through and get some big films and actually do good films. You know, what was the guy that did Thor, Mike?
Matakiki.
Yeah, the New Zealand guy. Yeah, so that's another example. So yeah, there's a few of them this year that broke through, which is kind of interesting.
Well, I do need to go back and listen to our last year's episode just because I want to see how many of the films I actually saw that were on my list. But off the top of my head today, I'm proud to say that 9 of the things that were on my list, I did see. So I'm really happy about that. I don't remember how many were on my list or how many I picked, and I'm sure there's a couple that I saw that I was looking forward to that then I was disappointed. But off the top of my head, I know there's 9 that I saw that I was, like, relatively okay with or happy with or really enjoyed. So I was happy with that.
Very good, very good. So, okay. So, yeah, what we're going to do is basically do a round table similar to what we've done in prior preview episodes. So we'll each read or talk about a film that we're interested in or seem to think sounds curious. And then, you know, we'll just bop it around and talk about it a little bit. And then after that, we go to the next film by the next co-host. Co-host Abe had to temporarily drop off due to some personal stuff at his house. Maybe he will join us again later. But if not, we'll hear from him next week. There's still 4 of us here. And I guess we can start. We can go through alphabetical order by first name. So, Eric, why don't you start?
Oh, okay. In no particular order, I'm just going to throw out titles that I think are interesting, either because I do or do not want to see them. I've started this one right now. I found a list on movieweb.com. The movie is called The Doll. excuse me. I guess the plot summary is that Chris and Andy order a model from an escort service. They find that something is unnaturally wrong with Natasha, something deadly wrong. Little do they know that while Natasha is a breathtaking beauty, she's really a possessed doll created by a mad doctor. Now, the only reason I'm really interested in this is because it's going to star a woman named Valeria Lukyanova. And I don't know if you know who this is, but she's also known as the Human Barbie. Have any of you had a chance
to see
pictures of this woman?
Yes. It is. It's disturbing.
It is disturbing. I mean, this woman is literally taking pains to make herself literally look like a Barbie doll. She actually, if you just look up her name, Valeria, her last name is spelled Lukyanova, and she really does. She looks plastic. She does not look like an actual human being.
I think the eyes, everything in theory is okay, but the eyes is what really is disturbing.
So she's going to be playing the role of the doll in the movie The Doll, which is why it interests me, is because I think that could be creepy as fuck.
Yeah, I think that would be really interesting. I think I'm going to put that on my list.
Now, Eric, do you know any release date or who's the director or anything like that?
2018 is all I know.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I actually heard about it when I was doing my research, and but once I saw it was the Human Barbie playing the role, I thought it was more like just going to be a silly farce. So I didn't bother.
If she's any good, that could be creepy as shit.
Yeah. No kidding. Mike, have you heard about this film?
I just saw the name, the doll. I didn't do any research into it. I know of the woman you speak. Mm-hmm. I am not a trained psychologist in any way, shape, or form. I think she probably has issues. And
you think?
Yeah, but I don't know how I feel about them using that. But you know, whatever. Excuse me.
Yeah. I just hope she has at least some talent as an actress, because that could make for a really effective movie.
Yeah, because it's somewhat real in a sense.
The makeup department's off the hook, so.
Yeah, there you go. All right, so, Abe, you're back. We were just discussing a film called The Doll, which stars the Eastern European woman that has turned herself to look like a Barbie doll because of plastic surgery. I don't know if you've heard of this horror film.
No, I haven't. That's the first time I actually heard about it.
All right. So that's an interesting one, Eric. Glad you brought that one up, because I think it's still low profile enough that it may have piqued interest to people, at least for you, Chrissy, right? You're going to probably check it out.
Oh, totally. I'm definitely going to check this one out. It sounds really good.
Is that the one directed by Susanna O'Brien?
I don't see a director listed here, so okay, I don't know.
Because I found a different doll then. Never mind.
There's a few of them.
Yeah.
All right. Very well. All right. So, since Abe, you're back, why don't you go next, since we were going to go alphabetical order by first name.
All right. For me, I guess I'll go with the Predator remake.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yep.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, give us a synopsis, the stars, directors, all anything, you know, when is it supposed to come out, anything like that.
So the storyline says here is as follows. A group of men get stranded in the jungle for beasts of whom they do not speak of. One by one, they go missing, and skin bodies are found in trees. Then when the only survivor of a previous beast encounter appears, they realize they're in worse trouble than they thought. The director is Shane Black. Not really familiar with him. The casting involves Olivia Munn, Jacob Tremblay, Yvonne Strelowski, Boyd Holbrook. There's Thomas Jane, actually, and Jake Busey as well.
And Keegan-Michael Key.
Yep. There's not much on it. Maybe just a few like production photos and stuff like that, but nothing like really stand out about the film overall. I'm just curious. It's interesting because, you know, there's been several Predator sequels and expanded universes. So it's very interesting, the idea that they're actually trying to remake the very first one.
They're not remaking it, though. It's not a remake.
Is
that a reboot?
Yeah.
It's not a sequel, and it's not a prequel.
Well, it's weird because it's labeled as a remake here.
Yeah, but it's not. Because I can tell you the early word is that the Jake Busey character is supposed to be related to the Gary Busey character from Predator 2.
Okay.
There was talk about whether or not they would get Arnold Schwarzenegger involved. And Shane Black had played one of the characters in the original Predator.
Okay.
And he was the skinny guy.
He told the jokes.
Oh, right, him. Right. Okay. Hawkins.
Yeah, Hawkins, thank you. So he was also a script doctor for Predator. He was a writer of Monster Squad. He wrote Lethal Weapon and Lethal Weapon 2. And Last Boy Scout, Last Action Hero, Long Kiss Goodnight, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang was his directorial debut. He wrote and directed Iron Man 3 and The Nice Guys.
Okay. Now, Iron Man 3, was that a good film, Mike?
It's divided audiences. There's a lot I like. There's a little bit I don't.
Okay. All right. So this is, yeah, because he wrote, did he write the original Predator 2, Mike?
He was a script doctor.
He was a script doctor, okay. Yeah, all right. So he's they're giving him another big shot after Iron Man 3 and a couple other films, so it'll be curious how it is. Even though Iron Man 3, I guess you said it was mixed reviews or mixed feelings by the audience.
Mixed feelings by the audience because of certain things that they did that went against expectation. It certainly made its money, though, and that's really what Hollywood cares about.
Yeah, and it got 80% good reviews on Rotten Tomatoes out of 298. So it appears that a lot of the critics liked it.
But he also, again, he did Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, which has terrific reviews, and he did
that
The Nice Guys,
hilarious.
Which also has great reviews. So,
what was the third one, Mike?
The Nice Guys.
Oh, okay.
Which came out last year.
Interesting. And Olivia Munn stars in it. That's interesting, too. Because she's known for a lot of comedic roles, but then again, she did that Exorcist movie from a couple of years ago. I forget the name of it. The same director that did Sinister. Looks like she's the lead for this film, based off of the list of actors. They put her as number one, so maybe she's the final girl or whatever, but I'm sure she's going to be a kick-ass character, most likely, too. Anybody else hear any further details of this? Is there any trailer, anybody know?
Not yet.
Okay.
It's scheduled for release early August, August 3rd.
Yeah, okay. How about that? The last Predator film actually got pretty good reviews, so I wonder, I mean, what is it? They have three Predator films, not including the Alien versus Predator.
Yeah.
And two of them got good reviews. I think Predator 2 had mixed reviews, but all right. So, The Predator, August 3rd, Mike said. Now, Chrissy, you're up.
I'm up. Well, the first one that I'm actually super excited about is Winchester, the house that Ghost built. And I know we've been talking, it's been shared on the Facebook group a couple times. This is basically the story of, it is based on a true story. It is based on the story of the woman who built the Winchester house when, it's out in California. And for those of you who are not familiar with it, she was married to the man who started and owned and made lots and lots of money on Winchester rifles, basically guns. And after he passed away, there was debate as to whether or not she went kind of nuts or if from grief or if she was actually maybe, you know, truly haunted. But she believed that the ghosts of all of the people who had been killed by her husband's guns and rifles that he had manufactured were haunting her, and that the only way she could keep them at bay was for her to continuously build onto the mansion. Now, Eric has more information on this than me because he has actually visited the mansion. But they are making a movie out of the story of how this crazy house got built. And I'm really anticipating this one because it's so well known, especially in the paranormal community, as a really scary kind of a ghost story. And the location itself is so odd and disturbing. And I think Helen Mirren is playing Mrs. Winchester. So I think she's amazing. So I think it's going to just be a really good movie. A lot of these ghost story movies lately I've seen tend to have had a lot of story problems. But I'm hoping that because they've really gotten a top-notch actress and they really seem to have put the money and the research into this, that it's got a solid story and it's not going to kind of crap out in its last third or have a silly, you know, a silly ending. I'm really excited also because this gets released on my birthday weekend. So this will be the movie I'm going to see when it's my birthday.
It's actually directed by a pretty good group of people. The Spearig brothers, which I know, Mike, you're familiar with, and I know you are too, Eric, because they did Daybreakers, they did Predestination, they did Jigsaw, and now this is their next film, Winchester, the house that Ghost built. And I know, Eric, you love Predestination as I did, and I know, Mike, you love Daybreakers, which is a pretty good vampire film. So they do have some work in genre, and Jigsaw was a semi-hit this year, whether it got mixed reviews. So that may be a curious film. And like you say, Chris, it has a pretty big actress leading the cast.
Well, and I also am hoping that it will do well because the Winchester House is something that a lot of people have heard of as being a famous haunted location. So this may bring some people out. And it's got – I'm glad that they're starting to show these things in, like, February and January to get people out of the horror houses and go to the theater. Like, I've kind of been noticing that trend. I know we've talked about that before where, you know, they're not really releasing as many horror movies in October anymore. They're releasing them in the winter, which is their downtime. And that's why these movies are doing well. But I just hope that it lives up to expectation because this is really pretty widely anticipated. I hang out, or I still know from, you know, from all my husband's involvement in the paranormal community, I still know quite a few paranormal investigators, and there are so many of them that are just so excited and wound up about this movie. So I'm really hoping it lives up to expectations.
It does also co-star Jason Clarke, who was in the second Planet of the Apes reboot, as the star in that film. And then it also stars Sarah Snook, who is the star of Predestination. So there's a big Australian connection here, which doesn't surprise me because the Spearing brothers are Australian directors. So I wonder if this was actually filmed in Australia, to be honest, because it appears that all the supporting cast is Australian folk. Never mind the people behind the picture. So Eric or Mike or Abe, any thoughts on the film?
I always like old buildings and stuff, a lot of history and stuff like that. It's always really cool to learn about them. So I'm interested in this. This sounds really cool. I got my interest piqued here. So I'll keep my eye open for it when it comes out.
Yeah, I really like the history aspect of it, too. And I'm hoping that from the snippets I've seen of the trailer and from what I've been reading about it, it seems that they're being pretty careful with paying attention to the actual history. And, of course, this isn't, like, so far back in history that we don't have good records either. So, you know, hopefully they'll do well with it.
Right, right. Yeah, and as you said, Chrissy, the winter release, February 2nd. Mike or Eric, have you seen the trailer?
I have seen the trailer. I'm probably going to end up watching it.
Yeah, I've seen the trailer. I know of the house. I remember reading about it when I was in elementary school because it is a famous haunted house, I guess. So any book you read about ghosts, there's a good chance it would get a couple of pages. And I think the year, I think, going back, it might be before this, but I remember when Mama came out, that would end up being a big hit in January. And so January and February have started to become release dates. And then last year you had Get Out and Split were huge in January and February.
Mm-hmm.
So for most films, if you're dropping, I don't know, Spider-Man 7 in January, the studio has no confidence in it. But this seems to be a place where they think horror films can survive and thrive. So it's generally not as – I mean, hell, Bye Bye Man was a hit last year. That was released in January, and it had terrible reviews.
Mm-hmm.
So most films, most genres, I would say if it's a January or February release, be warned. But in this case for horror films, it might actually be turning things on its head. It might be a sign of confidence that it can do well.
Right, right. Now, Eric, you, as Christy stated, actually seen this house. Could you give a little description of what you saw and your thoughts?
It's fucked up.
A good museum to check out if you're in the San Jose area, I guess?
Yeah, yeah, it's weird. He's got windows looking into walls and staircases going to nowhere, and it's...
It sounds really awesome. Weird.
Yeah.
Wow, too funny. Sweet.
That sounds like a really cool place to explore.
Yeah.
Oh, they don't let you explore. There's a tour. Otherwise, you're going to get lost and die.
Yeah, it had something like 500 rooms.
Yeah.
Crazy.
It's, I mean, I don't know how many rooms exactly because I didn't look it up, but it's, yeah, it's a frightening place. And there have been movies kind of done about it before. The only couple that I'm familiar with or that I've seen, though, were honestly, they were indie films and they were really not very well done.
I think Rose Red kind of took off the idea of the house being built constantly.
Oh, the Stephen King thing, yeah.
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 So, all right, very good. So, Winchester, the house that Ghost built February 2nd is what they say. All right, so let's move to the next. Oh, Mike, it's your turn.
Quickly, before Mike starts, I have a correction.
Yes.
I did not research closely enough. I did find the doll on a 2018 horror movie list. However, it's already out. It is available on VOD, so people can go check that out right now.
Ooh, yay!
Ooh, really? Ooh.
Is it the same doll?
John.
It is. I checked.
Huh. That's interesting. Okay. Yeah, because it was all on all the 2018 lists, and now it's available. How about that?
All right.
All
right. So, Phil, are you going to ask or am I going to ask?
I guess you'll have to ask, because I don't know what the question is.
Eric Webster, episode?
Let me watch it first.
Okay. Fair enough. Okay, so, Mike, you're up.
I'm going to start with one of those films that Eric was talking about, which was a movie that I had on my list last year or mentioned last year that didn't get released this year.
Mm.
And now we know a little more. They just released a trailer for it, and this is coming out on January 19th. And it's a film called Mom and Dad, which is sort of Cooties in reverse, in that it's a story about parents who are trying to kill their children.
Huh.
Or as I refer to it as the feel-good film of 2018. let me see if I... Is this really just the one I didn't pull a page up for? The main thing is that stars Nicolas Cage's dad.
Oh, Jesus.
So Nick Cage trying to kill his kids, I kind of find. It's the same sort of thing where they're inflicted by some sort of rage-type virus. I don't know the director is Brian Taylor. I'm not sure what else he's done. Let me see. He did just director of Crank, Jonah Hex, and this Ghost Rider sequel. So that's not a great sign. It has gotten some decent early word of mouth, but that could be from film festivals and so forth. So I don't know how much you trust it. But it says a teenage girl and her little brother must survive a wild 24 hours during which a mass hysteria of unknown origins causes parents to turn violently on their own kids.
I believe the nature of that virus is called common sense.
It appears that Selma Blair, I think, is probably the mom.
Yes, Selma Blair is mom.
Now, is it supposed to be a VOD release, or do you think it's going to go straight to the cinemas?
It says it's scheduled for release on January 19th. I don't know if it's going to be VOD or in theaters, or a mix of both.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I said the trailer is out. I don't remember what the trailer said, if the trailer said in theaters everywhere or what the story is.
But it's coming quick, so people will be able to see it in January, whether it's theaters or not. So that's interesting. Any further information anybody wanted to talk about? Anybody else seen the trailer about it? Or any information more that you wanted to bring up about it, Mike, that made you curious besides Killing Kids?
It says it's hit in Variety. It says it's set to hit theaters on January 19th.
All right. Abe or Chrissy or Eric, have you seen the trailer for this? I have not.
I have not.
Nope.
I haven't yet, and in fact, I just became aware of this movie today.
Same here.
Like an hour, like as I was sitting here waiting for you guys to call me, I saw it, and I was like, oh, that looks interesting, and I was about to click on it, and then I said, oh, no, I'm going to watch Family Feud right now instead. I'll watch that later. So I will check it out. It sounds really intriguing, and... I think it sounds different, so it's on my list. I just wrote it down. I want to see it.
All right, very good. All right, so if that's all on Mom and Dad, that brings up me, and I'm going to do a big budget film first talk about, because it could be talked about later, so, and all my other films are kind of small. I'm actually looking forward to... Bryce Dallas Howard in Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom.
Oh my God! Oh my God! Like dinosaurs, abandoned parks, and volcanoes. I'm so there.
That does look like.
That's all I have to say.
Yeah, it looks like a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to that one too. Actually, that's on my list as well.
It says, with all of the wonder, adventure, and thrills synonymous with one of the most popular and successful franchises in cinema history, this all-new motion picture event sees the return of favorite characters and dinosaurs, along with new breeds more awe-inspiring and terrifying than ever before. Welcome to Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom, directed by J.A. Bayona, who is a Spanish director that did some films that we know of, The Orphanage. He directed the Del Toro produced film A Monster Calls, which I know you, Mike, saw and said was pretty damn good. And he also directed some episodes of Penny Dreadful. And the film is written by Derek Connolly and Colin Trevorrow, who are the folks that wrote the first one. And Trevorrow wrote directed the first one, actually, too. And he's one of those guys that appears to be a head case, because he was originally going to be directing a Star Wars film. And, of course, he doesn't want to go by that universe's rules, so he got booted from that. And then his last film that he did bombed this past year. But him and Connolly have worked together multiple times since their college years, and they came up with Safety Not Guaranteed, as well as Jurassic World films. And he backed off to write rather than direct this one, because he wanted to go off into a small project and the Star Wars thing, and both of those were bad career moves. So anybody interested in seeing this film and the date release, I'm not quite sure. Anything with Bryce Dallas Howard in it that gets good reviews, I will be there. And she will be running strong in pumps. Woman power. Woman power.
I'm looking forward to this movie a lot. I had fun with the last one, so this one's on my radar.
Oh, yeah. I know Chrissy and Mike, you guys are big dinosaur fans, too. Are you guys looking forward to this one?
I
am. Go ahead, Mike.
I'm going to look forward to anything that has dinosaurs killing people. I have to admit that the trailer kind of left me a little cold. It felt like a lot of reheated Lost World, which is not the best of the Jurassic Park films. We got to go to the island to rescue someone who's not supposed to be there and to save the dinosaurs.
But it has Jeff Goldblum.
It does have Jeff Goldblum, at least in one scene in a boardroom or something, or at a press conference or something like that. I don't know. It's dinosaurs. I'll be there to see it.
Yeah, and they've got... I'm really impressed with some of the cool new dinosaurs they're bringing forth that we have not seen in the franchise prior, such as Baronix.
Carnotaurus.
Yeah, Carnotaurus, yep. And I gotta say, man, the volcanic eruption, impressive. Impressive. Just really nice. That pyroclastic flow looks totally amazing. I can't wait to see that on a big IMAX 3D. So,
But if you had to do a natural disaster, don't you think they should have just gone with the Sharknado?
You know, they could have done a Magnado.
Magnado, yeah.
There you go.
That would have been pretty crazy.
Chris, now, you work for the Sci-Fi Channel.
Now, I got a June 22nd release date, actually, so that's middle of the summer. Jeff Goldblum is being credited as, you know, guest star or also starring, so hopefully that is just to promote him and not just because it's a cameo, because we need as much Jeff Goldblum as possible. However, Chris Pratt and Bryce Dallas Howard are the two leads for sure. So this could be a fun film, if not high art by any means. The last one was pretty good. I think everybody enjoyed that, even you, Eric, with the woman in pumps running against Tyrannosaurus Rexes. Yes, yeah, it was a pretty good film. I enjoyed it. Anybody else have any more further comments on Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom? Anyone?
All right. Dinosaurs good.
Dinosaurs good, yes. All right, so let's go back to Eric.
You mean Abe?
Well,
you should have gone first the first time. Let's get the order back.
All right, so Abe, let's go. What do you got?
For me, because I really enjoyed Annabelle Creation, I'm looking forward to The Nun.
All right.
Yes.
Yes, I am too.
Directed by Corin Hardy, which the story goes as a priest named Father Burke is sent to Rome to investigate the mysterious death of a nun, and nothing else is said about it. The sequel is way better than the previous Annabelle entry, and knowing that we had a lot of hints of the mysterious demon nun, I am really excited to see what the story has to offer. There hasn't been a trailer released yet. Might not be for, but it apparently the actual film is supposed to come out in July 13th of 2018.
Well, some positive things. The screenwriter, Gary Dauberman, he wrote Annabelle Creation, and he also was a co-screenwriter of It. So, and he's going to be a co-screenwriter of It 2 that's coming out in 2019. So that's good news. And this is another breakout, possibly, for a small director. The director, as you said, Abe, is Corin Hardy. He's an English director. And he is the guy that did that little Irish horror film that we all thought was pretty good, The Hallow.
Oh, yeah, The Hallow. That was a good one.
Yeah, so it appears that he is another one that's going to break through. Who knows, if it gets good reviews, then he may be all set. So it's kind of good. Mike, you're the one that always says that it's probably smart for these big-time movies, whether it's superhero films or whatever, to grab these little independent directors that have shown some damn good promise and give them a chance, right?
Yeah, I mean, look, the truth is, while film nerds like us may know who some of these directors are, like, say, Christopher Smith, the average person doesn't go to see a movie because of the director. Who is the director for Mother?
Darren Aronofsky.
Darren Aronofsky. Right. That means something to you and to me. But the average person who went to see Mother probably went to see Mother because what's her face? Jennifer Lawrence was in it, right? And not because of Darren Aronofsky, who they don't know from Adam. I mean, yes, you get your Scorsese and your Spielbergs, and now I said maybe Christopher Nolan, but these directors are relatively few and far between.
David Fincher.
Maybe David Fincher. I'm not sure how well people who are not film buffs know his name.
Right.
They will know, like they say, the director of Seven, the director of Gone Girl. Might get them in audiences, but they won't necessarily know who is that, you know. So, since you're paying for a big name director, isn't going to get you any seats, butts in the seats. Why do it? If you can find someone, especially on a franchise film, right, where you're not looking for necessarily a unique vision, you're looking for someone who can do the job. Why not? Why not take a chance on somebody who's shown competence doing the job?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it appears that's what they're doing here with The Nun. I'm sure it won't be a high-budgeted film, because a lot of these horror films aren't. Never mind the films that are in this world franchise of The Conjuring. If everything goes right, it could be the fourth out of the five films that are good, right? Because we both like the first two Conjurings and the second Annabelle, for sure. So, you never know. Abe, do you get the release date for it, by any chance?
Yeah, I mentioned earlier it was July 13th.
Okay, all right. So another middle of the summer release. So that's pretty good.
Nathan and Sean did interview her, the actress who plays the nun, on their show.
Oh, really?
So I'll have to take, yeah, and that was really interesting. She is a lot of fun. Like, she had a lot of really interesting stories to tell. So for anybody out there that's interested, you can get a little insight onto the into the upcoming film by finding that.
Gotcha. This is Atomic Monster is James Wan's version of Blumhouse, and he's done Lights Out and The Conjuring 2 and Annabelle and all that, New Line and Warner Brothers and Safran Company are participating in the release of it, so distributed by Warner Brothers. All right, so very good. Yep, that's a big one. Everybody's looking forward to that one. Eric, you're up.
All right, I'm going to talk about a movie called Annihilation.
God, I cannot wait for this. Yeah,
It's based on a book by Jeff Vandermeer is the author. It also has Annihilation is the first part of a trilogy, and I just, while we were talking, purchased the next two books after Annihilation, because I saw the preview for this while I was at a movie with my father, and it looks like they may have done some combining of stuff from the other books, because there was stuff in the preview that I certainly don't remember from the first book. So, that being said, I'm cautiously optimistic about this movie. It has a very strong cast, including Oscar Isaac, Natalie Portman, Tessa Thompson, and Jennifer Jason Leigh. That makes me think, in addition to the preview I saw, which makes it look like the effects are going to be pretty strong, that this could end up being a pretty fun movie.
Now, Eric, you said you read the book then, the original book. Oh, yeah, and it was a good book? Science fiction? Car?
Little of both. I would say it leans more sci-fi than horror. Interestingly enough, the way the book hit me, the preview makes it look like a completely different story. So we'll see. Either they took some liberties, or they combined stuff from the other books, or they just have a really misleading trailer. It wouldn't be the first time. So we'll see what happens.
Now, Eric, is it take place in the future, or is it modern day science fiction type stuff? Or
I believe it is unspecified future.
Okay, it's the follow up to Alex Garland, who did Ex Machina, which that was his I think his directorial debut, which we thought was probably the best film of that year a couple years ago, and he's the screenwriter of Dread. And 28 Weeks Later, and I mean 28 Days Later, and Sunshine. He has a working relationship, obviously, with Danny Boyle, but you could say that based off his writing skills, never mind his one directorial film prior to this, he's a pretty good talent, I would say, right? And the stars,
I just named.
Yeah. What's her name again? That lead actress again? Natalie Portman. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. So that's good. She's a hot actress. Isaac comes back too.
She's hotter than it.
No, I meant hot actress as in
That's a fair point. She's hot both ways, Eric. That's a fair point. I meant hot as in she is hot as in hip actress.
Oh, okay. That's acceptable.
Yeah. But she is attractive as well, Eric. Yes. She is attractive as well. So yeah, I saw the trailer for this in front of what the hell did I say in front of oh, Star Wars. I saw it in front of Star Wars,
yep.
The Last Jedi. And it looked pretty interesting. Yeah, it looked like a pretty damn good trailer, I felt.
Anybody else? Like that whole thing where the scene in the preview where they come across the skull of the what looks to be a hybrid between a crocodile and a shark. Yeah, not in the book. So that's what kind of raised my eyebrow.
Okay, so yeah, they may have either changed it or, like you said, they're merging.
Yeah.
Like combining a crocodile and a shark.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. Well, I got to say one thing. The screenwriter is Alex Garland as well. And Alex Garland, as we just discussed, is a pretty good screenwriter. So hopefully it turns out well. Anybody else know about this film or heard about this film or seen the trailers?
I've seen the trailer. I'm probably not going to try to dig too much into it because I have not read the books. And I want to kind of go into this movie blind.
Right. February 23rd is when it comes out. Jeff Vandermeer is a well-known and award-winning sci-fi author. So that's interesting. Mike, have you seen the trailer or know anything about this movie?
I saw the trailer in front of Star Wars. The fact that it's by the director, writer-director of Ex Machina, has me interested. Reading about it on – this was one on my list. Reading about it on Wikipedia, apparently did not have good test screenings, and they – studio insisted that they, I guess, change the ending and make changes to Natalie Portman's character, but the director had final say, and I guess his producer backed him up. So I guess they're sticking with the original cut, regardless of what the test screenings say. Now, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but at least it's going to be what he wanted on the screen.
Right. Well, it depends, too. It depends on what your definition of good and bad, right? It could be good for the critics, bad for the proles that would go to see the film, or it could be, because it may not make money, but it'll be loved by the critics type of thing. But who knows? Well, it'll be curious because it looks like they want to make it a blockbuster type, right? One that's going to make a lot of money based off of the trailer I saw. But
and it's coming out into February, so it should not have a whole lot of competition.
Indeed. And I'm curious if this author's books are well-known or not. Chris, you read a lot. Have you ever heard of Jeff Vandermeer in any of his books?
No, I have not, actually. Okay. So, yeah, it doesn't mean he's not famous and awesome. It just might have slipped through the cracks. I have so many piles. I'm sure we all do. We have piles of books we want to read we just never get to. And sometimes when somebody says, oh, my God, there's this great book you have to read by this great author, I just go, oh, crap, I have no more space for more books. I don't have time to read. So I will put it on my list, though. And I'm really excited to see this movie. This was the trailer really wowed me, so... I might just see the movie and then go read the book.
Yep, very good. All right, so speaking of you, Chrissy, you're up.
I'm up, huh? I have a couple of choices, but I think right now I'm going to go with A Quiet Place.
Oh, you stole it from me, you stinker.
Okay.
Anything with Emily Blunt.
Yes, well, I'm really excited about this. The trailer is riveting. The basic storyline is a family lives in an isolated existence in utter silence for fear of an unknown threat that follows and attacks at any sound. And the tagline for this is, if they can't hear you, they can't hunt you. Like I said, the trailer just really seems like it does. It's very tense. You really are nervous and on the edge watching this trailer. So that's enough for me. And I'm very excited about it. And it comes out in April. I'm not sure what day in April, what the release date is. Do you guys know?
April 6th.
April 6th. Okay, cool. So that'll be a nice way to kick off spring, I think. I mean, Phil, go ahead and elaborate on it, because that's really all the information I have. So if you want to go ahead and elaborate, please go ahead.
Yeah, I'm trying to go in blind, but I'm very familiar with the film because anything with Emily Blunt is always put on my list. But the director is curious because it's John Krasinski, who's actually a sitcom actor from The Office. He played Jim Halpert there, and I don't know if this is his directorial debut. I don't think it is, but obviously he's not a huge director by any means. So this is you know, good for him for able to get to do this. The problem that I have, even though that, like you always say, it really doesn't matter in a sense, which is probably true, is that Michael Bay is one of the producers, and you know, and obviously that is unfortunate. John Krasinski is actually starring in it too, so he co-wrote, he's directing, and he's the co-star. So this is really his film all the way, you know, similar to Joel Edgerton last year with The Gift. So this is his film. But obviously Emily Blunt is probably one of the top five hottest as in hip, Eric, but she is hot too, by the way, but she's one of the top five hip actresses out right now, so that's going to help at least some notoriety to the film. And that's really all I got, because I didn't want to read too much about it, Chrissy. I just knew about the people behind it and starring in it. Anybody else know about this film? Anyone?
I saw it on a list. I was intrigued. I'll watch it.
There is a trailer out. I was definitely interested in seeing it. I was a little disappointed to find out they're being hunted by a blind Harvey Weinstein, but all right.
Well, Emily Blunt has to watch out for that. That's for sure.
Yeah, that's true. So yeah, this was another one stolen off my list. So.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That it's a film of note. It's going to be a big release.
It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, Paramount is releasing it, but I feel terrible because whenever I say hot actress, people think I'm talking about looks.
I wonder why.
Fair enough.
Thank you, Abe. Fair, I didn't even have to say it. It's fair. Like I'm throwing my voice again.
Fair enough. Fair enough. All right, so very good. So that brings it up to you. Mike, you're up.
Okay, let me go with one of the worst-kept secrets in Hollywood, which is a movie coming out on... where is it? On February 2nd. So this is, I think, opening up against the Winchester.
I don't really know what this is.
And this is a film called The God Particle.
Is that what his title is now?
Well, the title was The God Particle. I don't know if it's still going to be The God Particle.
Okay.
But it's also being referred to as Cloverfield 3.
Uh-huh.
Yes, Cloverfield 3, yeah.
It is directed by Julius Ona, who I don't know. I don't recognize any of the films that he's directed. And a bunch of actors whose names I can't pronounce.
The only actor I recognize in this movie is Zhang Ziyi, who is in a bunch of the martial arts movies, House of Flying Daggers, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, etc., etc.
Okay. But it basically sounds like Life.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
A team of astronauts aboard an international space station find themselves alone after a scientific experiment involving a particle accelerator makes the Earth vanish. When a space shuttle appears, the space station... crew must fight for survival following their horrible discovery.
That's interesting. The synopsis I read didn't say anything about the Earth vanishing.
Yeah, that's the first time I saw that.
But it does say, following their horrible discovery, the space station crew must fight for survival, which sounds an awful lot like Life.
Yes, so that's, I guess, the different wrinkle. We haven't gotten a trailer for this, but I think we didn't get a trailer for Cloverfield Lane until literally the day we were recording that episode 2 years ago. When we were recording the episode for the year in preview for 2016, and we were in the middle of recording it, and the Cloverfield Lane trailer dropped.
That's right.
And wasn't it something insane, like 3 days before release?
Not quite that much, but it was only a week or two.
Yeah, it was pretty damn close to release.
Now, that said, I don't know if I can piggyback this one. There's also a movie coming out in October, referred to as Overlord, that's also being produced by J.J. Abrams, that a lot of people are saying is actually going to be Cloverfield 4.
Huh. Weird.
I know nothing about that, and I don't know if they're just now assuming that anything that they don't know with J.J. Abrams' name attached to it is a Cloverfield film.
I was going to say, I think that's a leap.
I do know both are listed as horror, though.
Right. They're both science fiction horror. J.J. Abrams, nobody knows anything about it, so they're saying Cloverfield.
Hmm. Interesting. All right. So that's, it's really unknown otherwise what it's about, but they decided to let folks know that it has something to do with Cloverfield, or at least it's in
right.
that universe.
And I love Cloverfield, and I love 10 Cloverfield Lane. So if it's something that they feel is of the same similar caliber, I'll roll with it.
Well, right. And this is interesting because it appears with the Cloverfield series, they're doing what was kind of the original intent of Halloween and that series of movies, which, of course, became Michael Myers' vehicles. But originally, like Halloween 3, Season of the Witch, was the spirit in which they originally foresaw that series, which is every Halloween coming out with another scary story, not necessarily being all Michael movies. And I think the Cloverfield thing is kind of what they're doing, is they're kind of making all these science fiction movies with the word Cloverfield in the title that aren't necessarily directly related to each other, but all kind of tie into the same universe.
Yeah, that's a good point, Eric. That's an excellent analogy.
So this is the Overlord synopsis. In 1944, two American paratroopers are shot down over Normandy in the midst of the D-Day invasion, and they discover that the Nazis are using supernatural forces against them. So I don't see an actual connection to Cloverfield in there.
No, me neither.
No.
Yeah, I don't either. Yeah.
It sounds like more like a Wolfenstein movie.
It does, actually.
Yeah. No, that's a really good point, Eric. Yeah. All right, so that's interesting. When's this coming out again, Mike? You mentioned it, but I forgot.
Same day. February 2nd.
Yeah, same day. Okay. Huh, how about that? All right, that's good. That's a good one. All right. I guess that brings it to me. And I'm actually going to go with a film I've mentioned a few times on the Facebook page, and that's Thelma, T-H-E-L-M-A, which is a Norwegian horror film that actually played at an art house film in New York City about a month and a half ago, but it was nowhere else in the United States. It's getting great reviews, over 80-something percent. Oh, actually, it's up to 91% now. And it will appear on VOD January 16th for purchase, and then probably rent a month after that. But this is my big It Follows, you know, the new It Follows film that I've been like dying to see for the past 6 months. This is what it says about it. Thelma, a shy young student, has just left her religious family in a small town on the west coast of Norway to study at a university in the capital, Oslo. While at the library one day, she experiences a violent, unexpected seizure. Soon after, she finds herself intensely drawn toward Anya, a beautiful young student who reciprocates Thelma's powerful attraction. As the semester continues, Thelma becomes increasingly overwhelmed by her intense feelings for Anya, feelings she doesn't dare acknowledge, even to herself, while at the same time experiencing even more extreme seizures. As it becomes clearer that the seizures are a symptom of inexplicable, often dangerous supernatural abilities, Thelma is confronted with tragic secrets of her past and the terrifying implications of her powers. So this is a critical darling. It has gotten rave reviews everywhere. The trailer looks awesome. So folks who want to see the trailer, it is available on YouTube and everywhere else. It's subtitled, the trailer, so you can actually know what they're talking about if you're curious. The film is directed by Joachim Trier, and he has done a bunch of Norwegian films that I've obviously never heard of. And the stars have not crossed over into English language films yet either, so I don't know too much about them. but the budget was fairly small, as you would expect from a foreign film that doesn't have the Hollywood backing. It was only $6.5 million budget. The film is going to be released, as I stated, end of January, and I will be most certainly checking this film out. I'm thinking, Chrissy, you may like it because it has some supernatural elements to it, but I think it could be for anybody just for the fact that it's obviously getting rave reviews and some comparisons to other sleeper indie or foreign films that like It Follows and whatnot. Anybody want to comment or seen the trailer for it or know anything about it?
No, I've never even heard of it.
I've heard it mentioned a few times. I was interested, but wasn't available yet.
Right.
Yeah. So it'll be available shortly. So people should put it on their short list and start looking for it near the end of January. iTunes will have it on the 18th, I think, for purchase for $14.99. But hopefully it'll come out for rent quite after, similar to Killing for a Sacred Deer, which just actually came out for rent after being online for a month as a purchase. So that's Thelma, T-H-E-L-M-A, directed by Joachim Trier, Norwegian language film. So we go back to Abe.
All right. Next on my list is my radar for 2018 is going to be the new Halloween film.
Oh, okay. The one that Jamie Lee Curtis.
What is this Halloween you speak of?
The new Halloween.
Never heard of it.
This one's going to be directed by David Gordon Green. Jamie Lee Curtis will be returning as Laurie Strode. Nick Castle will be returning as The Shape, or as better known to many as Michael Myers. The storyline is as described. Laurie Strode comes to her final confrontation with Michael Myers, the masked figure who has haunted her since she narrowly escaped his killing spree on Halloween night 4 decades ago. They should probably put final confrontation in quotation marks, though. You know? I mean, that guy never said.
Yeah, that's a good point. And the movie's kept on going for 40 years later. It's pretty sad when you think about it. It's been 40 years since the first one. But yeah, continue.
I'm just looking forward to this because I really enjoyed the original Halloween. And while the sequels were very mixed in from film to film, I still overall enjoyed the character Michael Myers. And overall, I think I'm going into this one with more out of curiosity, to see if it can really capture anything that is in the spirit of the original, or can top it in any way. That's kind of a tall order, but I don't know. It could be fun. That has not been a trailer yet, and the release date is slated for October 19th of this coming year.
All right, very good. Now, Eric, I know you have seen that Nicolas Cage film, Joe. You remember that one from a couple of years ago?
No.
All right, yeah, I remember me and you were talking about it back, because I was trying to get you to do an episode on it, and you said, yeah, it was a good film, but it wasn't anything that was spectacular, but...
Clearly, I'm backing up my words, because I don't remember the damn thing.
Yeah, well, either way... the movie Stronger, which is about the Boston Massacre.
Okay,
that just came out with Jake Gyllenhaal and got rave reviews. This director has done Stronger, and he's done Joe. And Joe actually got rave reviews on the indie cinema.
Oh, I kind of remember it now.
I got the Blu-ray for it. I believe it or not, I haven't watched it yet. But... most of his films get 90% or 85% or greater. So this director, believe it or not, is considered pretty good. So it's curious that he would land up being tagged with Halloween, you know, the remake of, you know, 7 out of 8 films or whatever it is that suck, you know, and the first one was the best. So it's curious to see what he'll be able to do with this.
Anybody looking forward to seeing this film? Eric, I know you've never heard of this franchise, as you mentioned. But I assume you'll probably want to check it out.
Yeah, I'll be seeing it.
Anybody else have any hope, or is everybody's like, oh no?
It's a Halloween franchise. It has had diminishing returns at best since 1978. And for that matter, every year you look on the calendar, because we've been doing this for a few years now, you will see a Halloween movie. You will often see a Leatherface Texas Chainsaw movie. You will see an Amityville Horror movie. You'll see a Friday the 13th movie. You'll see a Nightmare on Elm Street movie. And very rarely do they actually materialize. Now, I understand that this is actually getting done, but I'll believe that it's actually being released this year when I see it. Mm-hmm. And that's just because we've been burned on this too many times. I'm curious. It's got Jamie Lee Curtis coming back. You know, it's got some creative forces who I would not otherwise attach to this film. I'll be curious to see what they do with it. Why not? Can it be any worse than Halloween Resurrection? Probably not.
Yeah, that's a good point, Mike. The people behind the film are people you wouldn't think would be doing a crappy B-movie remake sequel. My guess it is going to be released this year, just for the fact that Jamie Lee Curtis has been pumping it up in interviews and all that. So unless something really fishy happens where they show it to test audiences and it's so bad that they have to pull it for a while, it'll probably be released as a mention. But you're right, you never know until you actually see it.
I'll be there to see it. I'm not denying it. I'm just holding my breath.
Yep. All right. Anybody else want to say anything? Anyone? All right, so let's go to Eric.
All right, the next movie I'm going to throw out here is due out in April 20th. Stars The Rock. It's called Rampage.
Oh, Rampage, yeah.
Based on the classic 1980s video game featuring apes and monsters destroying cities. So I will go to the theater to watch The Rock fight a giant ape, a giant lizard, and a giant wolf. Absolutely, yes.
Yeah, this was totally on my list, too. This just looks like really great, big monster fun, yeah.
The video game was awesome. I love that video game.
Yeah, it was fun, yes.
Yeah, so this is the trailer I saw before Star Wars, which I assume most of you folks did as well.
No, I saw it on the internet. I saw it online before that.
Yeah, I saw it.
I haven't seen Star Wars yet, so...
Gotcha. Well, the director is Brad Payton, who directed San Andreas. So obviously he has a working relationship with The Rock. I know, Abe, you saw San Andreas. I did as well. I thought it was a pretty fun disaster movie. What was your opinion of San Andreas?
It's okay.
But either way, this is obviously a pretty good director for a disaster film. Because he did the prior one that I just mentioned, which actually got fairly decent reviews, even if Abe didn't like it. So that's interesting. And it is also starring Melon Ackerman, who was from the Watchmen films. Mm-hmm. But I'm guessing most of these folks... a lot of folks behind the film may be Canadian, because Brad Payton's Canadian, and some of the supporting cast, like Melon Ackerman, is a Canadian. But either way, it is being released by Warner Brothers Pictures. They're distributing it. Anybody else want to see this? Mike, you haven't said anything about it.
I got to be honest, I was not a fan of the trailer.
Okay.
But it's also giant monsters, so... Right. I don't know. I don't have a good history with films starring The Rock as a general rule, but even though I think he's not usually the problem in his movies.
Right.
And it's also a video game adaptation, which also doesn't tend to have a good track record.
True.
I haven't seen Doom, but I've not heard good things about it. That also starred The Rock. So.
Terrible.
But I am trying to keep an open mind.
Now, Mike... Have you seen San Andreas?
No.
Okay, you should check that out. It's actually, I think,
don't really have any interest.
Oh, it's pretty good. Eric, you've seen it, right?
It's a disaster movie. Of course, I've seen it.
Yeah. Plus, it has that actress from The True Detective. What was her name?
How would you describe her, Phil?
Healthy lungs. Yes, she is a very attractive woman. Yes. So, Rampage, Monster Movies, Destruction. Could be good. So we have a few of those, like Jurassic World.
I don't know about good, but it'll be fun.
It'll be fun, right, exactly. And fingers crossed that it's good. If it gets as good of reviews as San Andreas, then it'll be a half-decent film, at least a fun film. Money-wise, it'll probably make money anyway, because the Rock is hip, Eric, or hot.
He is dope and fresh and not at all whack.
That's right, exactly. So that's Rampage, and that was by Eric. So we're up to Chrissy.
I still have two that I want to mention, and I'm really fluctuating, but I'm going to go the more serious one. I really want to see Hold the Dark.
Hold the Dark.
I haven't heard about this. What is
it's called Hold the Dark, and it's going to be a Netflix feature. So there's no release date that's announced yet. But basically, the description is, in remote Alaska, a wolf expert is called in after a number of children fall victim to grizzly lupine attacks.
Oh, yes!
Yep. There he discovers a secret, and wolves soon become the least of his problems. An intriguing psychological horror from the director of Green Room. It stars Riley Keough, Jeffrey Wright, and Alexander Skarsgård.
Just a movie about wolves eating children.
Well, this is based on a novel by William Giraldi. And I was saying before, you know, adding books to my pile, this is one of those books that's been on my pile for like forever. So I was really excited when I saw they were going to do it. Now, the thing is, there's no release date and there's really very little information about it. There's a lot of buzz, like on, you know, IMDb will have it, and like, you know, Movie News will have a little blurb, and like whatever, Horror Geek will have a little blurb or something, but there's not a whole lot out there. So I'm really truly hoping that this actually does get released this year, and the fact that it's going to be direct to Netflix is nice too, because then it's just free and I just can't wait to watch it.
Netflix is dumping a shitload of stuff this year. I think there's something like 2 movies a week, something like that.
Yeah.
It's crazy. including Al Pacino film, I think. Scorsese film.
And they completed filming this apparently back in April. So
they did. Okay. So there's hope that it's going to show up.
Yeah. So most films do not need, you know, 8 months worth of post-production. So in all likelihood, this is finished and just waiting to be dropped.
Great. Right. I'm really excited.
I mean, the director's awesome. Blue Ruin and Green Room are both damn good films. And the screenwriter is awesome, Malcolm Blair, who was the star of Blue Ruin and a co-star of The Green Room. And he's awesome. The cast is awesome. Alexander Skarsgård is awesome in everything he's done. And he's another hip, if not hot, actor, Eric. Riley Q is one of the mothers, or whatever you call them, in Mad Max Fury Road. She's Elvis Presley's granddaughter in real life. And Jeffrey Wright, of course, is from Westworld. So it's got a pretty good damn cast, as well as people behind the film as well. So a good call, Chrissy. How did you hear about this again? Because I didn't know anything about it. Except I should have, because Jeremy Saulnier is a guy that I always try to follow because of his other films.
Well, I forget how I heard about this. I think I was talking. I have some friends that I have a little like Skype writers group with online, and I think the other night somebody mentioned it because she had read the book, and I was like, oh my god, I have that book. And then our other friend was like, oh my god, did you hear there's going to be a Netflix movie? And I was like, no, are you kidding? She's like, no. So that's how I heard about it. Because I remember hearing about it before reading about it. Like, I heard about it, and then I had to go look it up. And I think that's where I heard about it. So, anyway.
Nice, nice. Blue Ruin, I mean, Green Room, you know, I thought was just a pretty good film, but Blue Ruin I thought was awesome. Yeah, this is definitely, I just put on my list to check out when it comes. And
well, my hope is that it's, and again, I have not read the book, so I don't want to spoil it, but if it turns out to be like a freaking werewolf thing, I'm not really a werewolf person. I'm totally into the Alaskan setting. I love the idea of children being eaten or disappearing, because that always creates kind of a stressful tension when you're watching a movie, because it's a mystery that sucks you right in. But I don't know. If it turns out to be like the if the last third is like crazy werewolves running around, I think I'm going to be kind of pissed. Yeah, I'm going to be like, wait a minute, you could have done so much better here. But like I said, I haven't read the book, so I don't know. So...
Right. Yeah, you know who tends to say they're not werewolf people? Werewolves.
Werewolves. Not werewolves.
Yes.
All right. So we're up to you, Mike.
Okay. I was going to put this one on my list for last year, but Eric interrupted me and pointed out that the movie had been pushed back. So saved it for this year. And that is the movie that has been unfortunately retitled to The Meg.
The Meg.
Yeah. It had just been Meg.
Yeah.
It is now,
now
The
it's
Meg.
The Meg. Is that like Facebook?
I have a really bad feeling about that movie.
Oh, I have a wonderfully bad feeling about that film, yes.
All right.
The odds, it's Jason Statham, who also is kind of very hit or miss in his choice of projects. The choice of director, when Cool Runnings is the best thing he's probably done, does not fill me with inspiration. Nevertheless, giant shark movie in August.
Now, what was the film, other film that this director's done that you said was his best?
Oh, might be his Cool Runnings. That was a movie about the Jamaican bobsled team.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Don't be dissing that movie. I love that movie.
I'm not dissing that movie. I'm saying that's probably the best thing he has on his resume.
Well, I'll say this, Mike. When Jason Statham was in Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, he was on my radar, but since then, yeah, most of his type of films I don't enjoy, even though I know he has a huge fan base. So hearing his name as a starring role rather than a supporting role, like, say, in Collateral, where he had that small cameo, makes me worried. I know this film is based off a pretty famous book, and it's getting a lot of attention because... it's a shark movie plus the book and all these other things and Statham. But, yeah, that's
yeah, but it's been in development hell. Like, I'm pretty sure that we could have mentioned it in 2016 and 2015 as well, because it's just been in development hell for years.
Yeah.
So I just think it's going to be a bloody mess. I'm still going to go see it, but I don't have great expectations.
The Meg. Well,
I'm definitely going to go see it just because of the subject matter. I did try reading the books. I remember buying the first book when it came out, and I just couldn't. The writing is not great, to be honest with you. So I really had trouble getting through it.
It's not great.
It's not. It's just not good. So I don't know. So I was excited that there was a movie coming out because – I'm really interested in this story, and I hope it becomes a successful franchise, mostly because I really don't want to have to suffer through those books. yeah, I'm being truthful. I'm fascinated, but I just don't want to have to do that. So I have high hopes that this movie is not going to be the cluster that it feels like it's going to be, because I'm sure the script has been rewritten, you know, 50 million times with 50 million different people. Like Eric said, development hell is usually an indication that, you know, it's probably like 16 scripts and they took like pieces of each one and threw it all together and it's going to be a hot mess. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. So, but either way, it's finally supposed to make it out this year. And I assume we'll probably all go see it unless it really gets trashed.
Oh, especially if it really gets trashed.
Yeah. But it's going to be, you know, with the last couple of
shock film's doing pretty well at the theaters, I doubt they'll pull it and just drop it on VOD if it does get bad reviews, because it'll make money just from the fact that shark movies are hip, if not hot, Eric.
Well, and it is also in August.
Dope and fresh, is it? Yes.
And it is also in August, like Mike said, and that's when people like to go see killer fish movies, so summertime.
There you go. So. Yeah. All right, very good. So that brings it back to me, and I'm going to go with a film that made the festival circuits in 2016 and 2017. So the question is, will it actually make it to 2018 and be released or not? And that's the real question. And that film is called Fashionista, a film directed by Simon Rumley that Jason Lloyd saw in 2016 at Fantastic Fest. Jason Lloyd of Horror Failure and My Bloody Bits podcast. And he said it was the best film he saw at Fantastic Fest in Austin in 2016, and that had a lot of damn good films. I forget what they were, but he gave me a whole list of them, and they were pretty good. This is the one that he said was the best. And it's still waiting for a release date to the main, to everybody. But this is what it says. It says, a woman co-owns a vintage clothing store in Austin, Texas, with her husband. When she discovers he is having an affair, she throws caution to the wind and has an affair herself with a suave, mysterious pickup from a bar. The man, in true thriller fashion, turns out to be way more dangerous than she ever bargained for. And then there's another little blurb I got here, which is set in the weird capital of the world, Austin, Texas. April and Eric own a vintage clothing store and are happily in love, or so it seems. As things go awry there with their relationship, April relies increasingly on her clothes as an emotional crutch. When she meets a handsome stranger in a random bar, her life starts to spiral out of control, and she has to rely on her clothing fetish to maintain some kind of sanity. The film has 100% on Rotten Tomatoes out of 7 reviews, just festival reviews, including Variety magazine, which gave it a high recommend. It stars Amanda Fuller, who starred in Red, White, and Blue, Simon Rumley's film from a couple of years ago, and Ethan Embry from Cheap Thrills and Devil's Candy. So it has a pretty good cast of character actors. Simon Rumley does a lot of dark thrillers, and Jason Lloyd said this is more of a thriller than a horror, in his opinion. And it sounds pretty intriguing. Curious how it will turn out, but all I've heard from people online that I've talked to that have seen the film said that it's incredible. And Simon Rumley usually doesn't disappoint. So this is one I'm really looking forward to. Unfortunately, there is no Q1, Q3, or whatever release date yet, but we fingers crossed that it will come out in 2018, since it's now been 2 years since it's been playing the festival circuits. Anybody else hear of this film or know anything about it?
Well, I've heard of it because you've mentioned it several times, but I'll see it just because it's set in Austin, Texas. So,
and Eric, you were going to say something?
I was just also going to say I've heard of it here.
Yep. So yeah, that's all I got from it, because I'm trying to read as little as possible. There is a trailer out. It's not a, it's more of like a, Mike, what are those trailers that don't really tell you anything that come out before the real trailer?
Teaser?
Yeah, teaser. It's more like a teaser trailer. So that's, you can check that out on YouTube or wherever you find trailers. You can go to the Rotten Tomatoes and link to the 7 reviews if people are curious to read about the reviews. And of course, there's plenty of blurbs everywhere, including the Fantastic Fest website page that talks about it. And Simon Rumley is also fairly accessible on Facebook and other places that if people had questions, I'm sure he would talk about it. But all in all, definitely something I'm looking forward to.
Well, you know, I got to be honest, the blurb you read doesn't interest me at all, because I don't find the idea of a woman relying on her clothing fetish to save her from a weirdo sounds like a great concept. I'm just hoping that there's more to it, or that it's maybe in the execution, and it's just one of those things that is hard to properly describe.
Yeah, it is very vague. Yeah, because it's like, does that mean clothing fetish meaning that she jumps back into her work, you know, at her boutique shop? Or does that mean she starts making weird clothes and hits, like, you know, the underground bars? I mean, it really doesn't tell you anything except that she obviously goes back into her work, and whether it's healthy or unhealthy, or whether this guy that she had the affair with is blackmailing her, or if he's something even more evil. Yeah, so you're right. It'll be curious. Obviously, I could get a blurb from Jason Lloyd, but I've been really trying to go in completely blind.
Right. No, if she had a cosplay fetish, then I'd be much more interested.
Yeah, you never know. It could be part of that. They have the cruise conventions where, you know, who knows, right? I mean, interesting to see how Ethan Embry plays his role, because he's one of those actors that can go in and out of, like, any type of role. He can play, you know, the working class guy to the white collar guy, as we saw him play in the couple episodes he was on The Walking Dead, all the way to the heavy metal guy that we saw in Devil's Candy. So he's a really good actor, and I would like to see how he plays it here, if he's, you know, like a more of a bohemian because it's a clothing store, boutique type thing, or if he's actually something else. So that's Fashionista by Simon Renly, sometime 2018, they say. We're back to you, Abe.
For me, my next film is the remake of Nosferatu that's going to be directed by David Lee Fisher. It's starring Doug Jones as the...
Nice.
As Count Orlok, which is awesome. Sarah Carter as Ellen. Jodie Fisher as Ruth. Jack Turner as Wolfram. Sarah Montez as Florica. And a few other actors here and there. They got an entire cast set up. So it's well on its way of being made. They have not given a release date, however. But I do love the original, and I also really enjoyed the remake as well. I'm very curious to see what they can do with this. I mean, Doug Jones is a fantastic choice. He's really damn talented. So I'm confident that this will be at least have a great performance, even if the rest of the film isn't that strong. So it's a big wild card for me, but I want to see it.
Abe, I have a question.
Yeah.
Do you know if it's going to be a silent movie or not?
They have not said anything about that. As I said, there's very little information about it. Okay. Just that it's a remake of the original 1942 film. But I mean, that'd be pretty interesting if it was.
It would be, but I don't trust Hollywood to do that. So
no. Maybe if it was a small release, I could see that. But if it's going to be for like a general audience, that's not going to work.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Mike.
I was going to say the interesting thing is there is another Nosferatu remake also supposed to be coming out soon.
That's another one?
Yes. By Nicholas Eggers, who did The Witch, starring Anna Nicole Joy. Anna Taylor-Joy.
And when's that one coming out?
I don't know if it has a release date. The Doug Jones is what really gets me with this one. And, you know, you wonder, you know, this happens every now and then where you get the competing films of the same idea. You know, and the question is this going to be, Deep Star 6, Leviathan, or The Abyss? Is it going to be, you know, Ants or Bug's Life? Which of these competing projects are we actually going to get? What was it, Mega Mind and Despicable Me? You know, but it's
Dante's Peak and Volcano.
Right. And I certainly don't expect the audiences. You know, I think audiences might be willing to go see two Volcano movies in a year, and I think they'd be willing to see two vampire films in a year. I don't know if they'd be willing to see two remakes of the same film.
Yeah, that'd be weird.
So
yeah, that's a good point, Mike.
I'll be curious who blinks. You know, was this one fast tracked to just to get it made ahead of the Eggers film? Is one of these just going to end up being a direct-to-video release? I'll be really curious to see how this all plays out.
Yeah, that's a fair point, Mike, because you just never know. The director, he hasn't really done anything, though. One of the actresses in it is named Jolie Fisher, who's fairly well known, and I'm curious if he has a relationship with her. But Sarah Carter, the lead actress, I loved her on Fallen Skies. That was my favorite. She was my favorite character. She's a Canadian actress, and she played a pretty damn good role in that TV show. And she was always one of the characters I would always want to watch when that show was on. So I'll probably be curious to check this out just because of her. And, you know, because I thought after that show she would just disappear, and it appears not. It appears she's actually maybe back, so or at least trying to find some other work, and so that makes me curious to this film. Mike, you mentioned that there is another one. Is the other one supposed to be? Do you know what company is supposed to be releasing either of these, or are these just both independent films?
I don't know.
Yeah, me neither. Now, this Eggers guy, is he pretty big, or is he a fairly unknown director, too? Like,
he's the guy that directed The Witch.
Oh, okay.
Which shows promise for me, because I think one of the things that he really illustrated that he could do, that he showed that he was really good at with The Witch, was that sense of historical accuracy and that reverence.
And atmosphere.
An atmosphere, and I think that that is going to serve a Nosferatu piece, really beautifully. I'm so anxious to see what he does with that. I think that's just going to be fantastic. Right.
And Mike, you said that one, the other one, because that's Christy's now talking about the other Nosferatu, not the one that Abe's talking about. But you've heard that one as well is supposed to be 2018 too, based off of
yes. What you said. That'd be Mike, because they were talking about this. That he had cast Anna Taylor-Joy last summer or last April, I think.
And Anna Taylor-Joy, how is she the one from The Witch?
She's the witch from The Witch.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. So that's curious. So who knows which one will get first, and who knows which one will be more successful. That's a curiosity. And we'll have to see. Any further things anybody want to talk about the Nosferatu films?
I will see either of them.
Yeah, me too. We'll have to see when they come out. Whatever quarter, we don't know. There's no release date for either of them, to my knowledge, as you, Abe, said, and you, Mike, said. All right, so let's go to Eric.
Well, I'm not sure how accurate this is. This is on a... the same list that I found the doll listed for 2018. So, but I've got Dead Snow 3 listed here.
Really?
It says Zombie Hitler is ready for his return in Dead Snow 3. And I honestly could not believe how much I enjoyed Dead Snow 2. I think I may even liked it more than the original. So, yeah, I'm on board for Zombie Hitler. Bring it on. Yes.
But can they top a tank blowing up a baby in a baby carriage?
That was awesome.
That was awesome.
It's a sound effect. That was awesome. And, you know, what's terrible is that I remember you guys, when we were talking about that movie, I had watched the Norwegian version, meaning not dubbed, and you guys watched the American version, because when you put in the disc, it goes to the American or the international cut rather than the Norwegian cut, which is kind of weird. So if you guys haven't checked out the Norwegian cut, it's also on the disc, and it's probably worth checking out for Dead Snow 2. Dead Snow 3, yeah, I'm up for it, Eric, absolutely, especially if it's by the same director.
Yeah, I hope the same people are involved, because they know what they're doing.
Yeah, they sure do. That's a good one. And again, there's no release date, and you're not sure if it's this year or next year.
It says horror 2018, and that's all I know.
Gotcha, gotcha. All right, so that's the second Norwegian film after Thelma on the list. All right, so let's move on to Chrissy.
All right, I'm going to go with my silly choice now, finally, that I've been meaning to get to. And this one is kind of interesting because there seems to be a lot of confusion about it. It's either called Slender or Slender Man.
Oh, you stole another one from my list.
Oh, okay. Sorry, Phil.
I think it's Slender Man. That's what Slender Man is.
Yeah. Well, what's interesting is it is, of course, a feature film based on the Slender Man creepypasta. The description is, Slender Man tells the story of a tall, thin, horrifying figure with unnaturally long arms and a featureless face who is reputed to be responsible, for the haunting and disappearance of countless children and teens. I'm not sure, like I said, I'm not sure that this movie was even real, but I mean, I'd heard about it and I'd heard rumors about it. But I think what's interesting is that when you go and you try to look for trailers on this, like, there's like 10 different things that say they're the official trailer. And clearly they're not.
Christy, I wouldn't believe any of them because I'm looking at the IMDb page for this right now. And really all it's got is a title and a release date. There's no trailer. There's no cast list. There's no synopsis.
No, which is very interesting, and the reason why I think it's interesting is that because with the very idea of creepypastas, the whole thing is nobody knows if it's real or not. So I think it's kind of interesting that there's this movie that people are talking about, but there's all these like fake trailers, and we have this release date, and yet no other information. I don't know. It's just kind of cool. I'm really doubting if this movie is actually even fucking real. And I think that's sort of fun, so we'll wait and see. But Wikipedia does say, not like I put all my faith in Wikipedia, but it does say it's an upcoming American horror film directed by Sylvain White.
It is a French-born, now American director that has gone back and forth between American films and French films. He's probably most well-known in the genre community for the third installment of I Know What You Did Last Summer, a direct-to-video film that probably no one's seen. But this is his newest genre film. But continue, Chris.
Yeah, and it does say that it looks like Screen Gems is the one that's going to be releasing it.
Yes, yes.
Other than that, there's like nothing out there, Eric. What is interesting, though, is if you want to have some fun and watch some of these fake trailers that people have put together for this, you're going to see there's a couple that are really actually well done. And people, like, there's this one where the guy took pieces of, like, The Forest, The Hollow, a couple of other movies, and, like, cut them all together to make them into, like, a Slender Man storyline. It's really cool. Like, the trailers are actually worth watching, some of these fan-made trailers. They're really cool, but they're clearly pieces from other movies.
Right, right. Yeah. Well, the Slender Man creepypasta is pretty freaky, to be honest. So if they do it well, it could be a good film. So that's why I put it on my list, because I've always thought the Slender Man was kind of scary. Abe, you going to say something?
Yeah, I was just going to say it's probably going to be another 2018 wild card.
Yeah.
The lead actress is Joey King, who actually, and I didn't even know this movie existed, but The Sound and the Fury, that directed by James Franco from 2014, she starred as Miss Quinton in that.
She was also in The Conjuring.
Well, she was going to play. I was going to say that too. The connection with that is she plays my long lost relative Christine Perrin, the youngest daughter in that movie. But yeah, I'll have to check this. Sound of the Fury. That's my favorite novel. So I didn't even know they had it as a movie. Yeah, there's nothing about it, really, Chrissy. You're absolutely right. All I was going to say was what it said on Wikipedia, too, because there's not even a synopsis for the film, to my knowledge. Has anybody know much about... I know, Abe, you've said you kind of know something about the Slender Man and all that.
It's hard to get away from such a... the character's been spread around, and there have been games made of it and stuff like that. And I've heard about the movie, so the information made available, it's like, I'm with Chrissy, it's like, is it even going to happen?
Yeah. I mean, it says, May 18th, it's coming out. So it has a release date. So I'm guessing it's real. I mean, Scream Gems and May 18th. So it has two things that make it at least somewhat known.
Well, like I said, I just found it funny, like Eric was saying, is that there's like, no, it just parallels the very creepy, the whole creepypasta idea. Like, here's this mystery, we're just not really sure. Like, it's just kind of cool. I don't know. Yeah. You know what? And if it comes out, I'll totally go see it. I will go see anything that's kind of, urban legend-y or creepypasta-y or whatever. I'll always get into that. You know
it's cool.
They can be a lot of fun.
What's odd is it also has I found another release date for it. It's possibly February 2nd as well. So maybe since other horror films are coming out on February 2nd, they pushed it back to that May date. And it appears that a lot of the photography, Chrissy, was done in Boston, believe it or not. So that's curious, too.
Yeah, that is.
Yeah. All right, that's a good one. Good pick. Let's go with Mike. Yeah, you're up.
Okay, so I just rolled over on the cat. I usually pick one comic book film each year. It's not always the most obvious one. There are obviously big things like Avengers Infinity War coming out. But the one I'm most curious to see this year is The New Mutants, which is coming out April 13th.
Mike, could I ask you one question before you continue?
Yes.
Is that the standalone Sophie Turner film, or is this a different one?
It is not the standalone Sophie Turner film.
When's the standalone Sophie Turner one coming out?
I didn't look that one up.
Okay.
This is based on the early to mid-80s run on the New Mutant comics by Chris Claremont and Bill Sienkiewicz. And this is going to be more of a horror film, horror superhero film, sort of. The idea of the New Mutants is that this is the younger class training to become the next generation of X-Men. Two of my favorite comic book characters are Ileana Rasputin, will be played by Anya Taylor-Joy, who I just mentioned, and Maisie Williams from Game of Thrones is playing Rain Sinclair, or Wolfsbane. And they're basically, I guess he had an idea for a trilogy of stories that would adapt this run of comics on the New Mutants. They presented it to the artist, Bill Sienkiewicz, a while ago, and he thinks they found a way to actually nail the story. And it's just going to be, I think, going to be something different. The books were certainly something different back then. And I'll be really curious to see how well they adapt it.
Yeah, all right. And anybody a big fan of this series by any chance?
I'm not a fan of the series, but this title caught my eye when I was scrolling through stuff, simply because of the cast. Anya Taylor-Joy and Maisie Williams are two strong young actresses. And Anya Taylor-Joy was actually in a movie kind of like this already called Morgan, in which she did a solid job, although the movie was not well received. So I will probably end up going to see it.
Yeah, very good. This director I'm not too familiar with.
He's another young director. I don't know if he's young, newish director. He's only got a couple of films to his credit, and one of them I know is one of those. Sounds like both of them are sort of the romantic films. The Fault in Our Stars is one of those teen love romance films. The other one is called Stuck in Love, which I have no idea what that's about.
All right. Yeah, I'm not familiar with either of them. So, yeah, it looks like another Stark sister is making a debut into the X-Men series as well, then. So.
Right. Now, this is the same run of books that gave us, if anyone saw Legion on FX, the TV series. It's where that character came from. These were very different books. It had basically been up through the first year and a half. The New Mutants had basically been a kind of copy of the X-Men. And then once they brought Sienkiewicz on as the artist, it took on a very different, much darker tone. Because he was one of the first really distinctive comic book artists with his own style that was borrowed a lot from a lot of abstract art and really would stand out. And some people loved it, some people hated it. It's now kind of looked back on as being a classic run. I'm just really curious to see what they do with it.
Right, right. Actually, the Sophie Turner one is coming out this year as well, and that's coming out, I just did research, it's called X-Men Dark Phoenix.
Right.
And that's November 2nd. And that has all the folks in it, James McAvoy and whatever, but my understanding was it was originally supposed to be her standalone.
Well, it focuses on her character, but the other
characters
there.
Okay, so she's the lead, and then all the other characters, of course, there. Yeah, all right. So this one here
won't go well for her.
Yeah. Oh, why is that? Is she a bad guy or something?
That's what the whole thing refers to. Is her character is Jean Grey, who's the Phoenix, and Dark Phoenix is referring to the fact that she turns bad.
Oh, so that character in the comic series becomes bad?
Sort of, yes.
Okay, I'm not familiar with the X-Men that well. So this other one, that the Macy Williams one, is it in the? Could it fit in the same universe as all the others?
Yeah, it's definitely in the same universe as all the other X-Men films.
Okay.
Because it's got like James McAvoy and the rest in it.
Oh, so that one does too. Okay. Huh? How about that? All right. So, anybody else excited for this one, or I guess the other one, the New Mutants, or whatever it's called?
The New Mutants. I kind of want to go see. I'm not excited about the other one because X-Men Apocalypse was trash.
Gotcha. Yeah, I actually picked that up for Black Friday, the X-Men Apocalypse, and I haven't watched it yet, so I'll have to check it out. All right, very good. So that's the New Mutants, and it's coming mid-summer, is it right, Mike?
This is coming out April 13th.
Oh, okay, so it's earlier in the year. Nice. All right, sounds good. So now it's back to me. And this one is a film called The Bad Man. It's coming out Q3.
Make the Bad Man fly!
There you go. It's directed by Scott Shermer. He's a director that did such films as Found, Plank Face, among others. It stars Ellie Church, who was also in a film that he directed called Harvest Lake. She's a pretty well-liked scream queen. And it's basically what I have here is it's about a clown who kidnaps a couple in their own home and tortures them into becoming sex objects he's going to sell at an underground auction.
The fuck?
So it's almost like a think of an underground version of the film Taken, maybe. I don't know. Anything with a clown in it makes it surely interesting, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And if they're going to do, I guess, human trafficking, it appears, is what the horror is in the film.
What is the name of the film again?
It's called The Bad Man. So it's another clown horror. What's that?
Can you just read that synopsis again one more time?
Yeah, sure. Let me do that. It's about a clown who kidnaps a couple in their own home and tortures them into submission to become sex objects he's going to sell at auction.
Okay, that just sounds like it's a terribly written synopsis.
Oh, yeah. This isn't an official synopsis. This is a I found online from somebody.
Okay.
I was just saying this is...
Where did you even find this? Because I'm having trouble finding the film.
I actually spoke with the director himself. I actually saw on his Facebook page that he was, it was a film that was in development. And so I contacted him earlier this week asking for some details about the film. And, of course, he wanted to be very as vague as possible and didn't give me much information except mostly the release date and that it's a horror film and all those things. So the synopsis, obviously, I have to piece together from various items that I heard. And so forth. So it's not much is known about it, but the film is in production now, and post-production is going to occur, obviously, right after, so it'll be released around Q3, which is pretty much what you say, Mike, which is, you know, 8 months, you know, or less, that's all you really need to do it, to put a film together. But it'll be released on VOD, most likely, at limited run at theaters, like a lot of independent films. And it's also written by Scott Shermer as well, so he's actually doing the screenwriting as well as a directing for the film, similar to what he did with Found, among other films that he's directed. The cast are mostly unknowns, except for Ellie Church, which a lot of folks who follow horror films, I know Anthony Thurber, that's one of his favorite actresses. Anthony Thurber, a contributor on the Facebook group, and me and Mike have met him a couple times, and he was at ScareCon. He does a blog, and so he's a big fan of Ellie Church, and she actually is married to director Brian Williams, who did Space Base from Outer Space, the highly regarded indie comedy horror film that came out in 2017, earlier this year. I don't know if anybody else has heard anything else about it. Mike, you said you couldn't find anything about it, though, right? Because it's been a lot of hush-hush, I guess.
Well, there was a film that, from Bollywood, I guess, that was called The Bad Man. There's a film from the 1930s that was called The Bad Man. There's a whole bunch of films that have been apparently called The Bad Man. And I'm not finding one for this year.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm assuming basically what it appears is that all the big release information about the film is coming out on February and March of this year. So end of February, early March is when the trailer and the blog and the all that other stuff. The poster art is already out, but everything else will be released to the general public to know about the film more end of February, early March. Though Scott Shermer is available pretty much on Facebook. He's pretty good, similar to Simon Rumley. And there's going to be, for VOD, for folks who want Blu-rays, there will be a pre-order release for the film through Bad... I forget the name of the Bandit Films website, which is a production company that he works with, and they usually release a second disc that is included in the pre-orders. So if you guys like collectors stuff and more extras, that's probably the way to go, though you'll be able to find it everywhere else. And that's pretty much all I got for it now. I know, Abe, you liked Found and some of, maybe even Heather. I'm not sure if you ever got to see Heather, but I actually saw it. It was a pretty fucking good movie. But it's probably something that you're probably curious to check out because I know you liked some of his other work.
Yeah, I mean, the synopsis sounds really silly, but maybe the film itself is better.
Yeah. I mean, again, the synopsis was one sentence that I got, you know, and unfortunately not much else is known. That's The Bad Man, 2018. Look for Q3 release everywhere. However, folks who want to get a pre-order in and get the extra disc, I guess, we'll be able to go to Bandit Films when that comes out. Usually I post that stuff on Facebook when I hear things like that. So folks who are members of the Facebook group or whatever, or just want to be notified later, they can always just email darkdiscussions@aol.com, and I can send it to you that way as well. That's The Bad Man. Now we go back to Abe.
All right. For me, I guess this one's is a January release horror film, which is, we'll see how that goes. But I've always had fun with the series despite its flaws, and this is going to be the new Insidious film. Yeah. Insidious Last Key. I had fun with the Insidious franchise. I mean, it's not been perfect by any means, but I just had enjoyed them once in a while, and I think Lynn Shay is a really good actress. I always liked her as Dr. Ellis. And the synopsis reads, parapsychologist Dr. Ellis Rayner faces her most fearsome and personal haunting yet in her own family home. I've seen the trailer. It looks like it could be fun. I don't expect it to be an incredible film by any means. And it says January release. So it could be just be mediocre at best. It could actually be good, or it could be just terrible. But, you know, a lot of films on our radar could end up being just a toss about all those things as well. So I'm going to reserve judgment until I see the film.
All right, very good. We'll see if it gets good reviews. Lee Wannell, I think, is part of this one as well. So it could be good, depending on which Lee Wannell comes out. He's the guy that directed one of the others in the franchise, and he wrote pretty much all of them, including a lot of the Saw films, and so forth. So it'll be curious, but yeah, I mean, Eric, your original expression was "ugh," which could be legitimate as well, based off of some of the follow-ups in this franchise.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mike, what about you? You're interested in this one?
I've seen all the others, so sort of. We're living in an era in which the sequels to Ouija and Annabelle were actually good movies, right? So I thought the third Insidious film was much better than the second. Although I think the film series as a whole pales to compared to what they've done with The Conjuring. So, you know, it's coming. There's a good chance I'll see it. But it's not what I'm super excited about.
Sure, yeah. It'll be curious to see if they can get the magic from the first, because the first one was pretty good. Chrissy, I know you like supernatural horror films and stuff. Are you interested in this one?
Yeah, definitely. I will definitely be checking it out.
Nice. All right, very good. We're going up to Eric.
Okay. This one I just kind of noticed my second time through the IMDb list. It's called Game Night.
God damn it!
Sorry.
Yeah, Mike. This one looks kind of intriguing and fun and different.
It's categorized as action, comedy, crime, horror, mystery. The synopsis...
Anime! Softcore porn!
A group of friends who meet regularly for game nights find themselves trying to solve a murder mystery. And it stars Rachel McAdams, Jesse Plemons, and Jason Bateman. And I like all those actors, so I'm interested.
Yeah, it sounds like a damn good cast. I don't know if there's any trailer or release date for it yet. Do you know, Eric?
There is a trailer on IMDb. I'm not going to watch it because I'm trying to not do trailers.
Okay. But there's no release. I mean, you know, like if it's a Q3 or
February
23rd. Okay, so my birthday.
I like the poster for it. Have you seen that?
Yes.
Yeah, it's the Scrabble tiles that spell out Oh, fuck.
I'm staring at a different poster. I'm guessing they took that one down. Where'd you find that one?
Just on when I did the Google search on IMDb.
Interesting. No, the one I see just says Game Night and has some dice. And it does have a Scrabble tile, but not one spelling out. Oh, fuck. That's funny, though.
Nice. All right. Anybody else have anything else to say about this one? This one does seem interesting. I agree with you, Eric. All right. So we go back to Chrissy.
My last one on my list is Unsane. Have you guys heard of this one?
No.
Okay, it's called Unsane.
I have it on my a list of 60 films that other films, but yeah, I don't have it as one I chose, but go on.
Yeah, this is a Steven Soderbergh film, and reported that he shot it on his iPhone.
Nice.
And the synopsis is, a young woman is involuntarily committed to a mental institution where she faces her greatest fear, not knowing if it is real or part of her delusion.
Mr. Watson will hate that movie.
Yeah, I kind of am intrigued by it. I love the idea that it was reportedly shot on some kind of phone, whether it's an iPhone or whatever. I don't know much more about it. On the other hand, I didn't really do a whole lot of research on it. But it's supposedly released March 23rd. So it's coming up.
Yeah, yeah. It's Soderbergh recently has not been as great as he used to be, but he's still always someone to watch. The way it's filmed is very odd, so that makes it interesting just for that fact. Yeah, that sounds pretty curious. You may have said it, Chrissy, but I may have missed it. Did you say there was a release date?
Yes, March 23rd.
Oh, okay. Very good. So
it's
yeah.
coming up pretty quickly. Yeah, and I mean, it could be a little bit of a thriller. It sounds like, if it's true that this thing was actually shot on a phone, there could be an element of, found footage, meaning there could be an element of the unreliable narrator there. So we'll see. I don't know. It sounds very Poe-esque to me. I sort of liked it. That's what attracted me to it. Yep. They're calling it a thriller, so it's classified as a thriller.
All right, very good. Yeah, so Unsane, March 23rd. Sounds good. All right, so we're back to Mike. I guess this is our last round, right? I think so.
I would hope, because I'm...
Yeah, so I'm all done after this, too. So go ahead, Mike.
Okay, I'm just going to throw this one out there. I know next to nothing about it, but you might be interested, Phil. This is coming out in a couple of weeks. And nominally, it's a sequel to Dawn of the Dead. It's called Day of the Dead Bloodlines. And the only thing that has me interested in it, besides it's a zombie film, is that it's by the same director who did one of Phil's favorite films, The Corpse of Anna Fritz.
Ooh, that's pretty cool.
Other than that, it's a zombie movie. That's all I know about it. The barrel's getting thin here. I could start pulling in all the franchises and sequels that we already know about, but...
Now, Mike, this Bloodlines film is it a going to be released by a big production company, or is it just a straight VOD thing? Do you know anything?
I'm guessing it's going to be a VOD thing.
All right, that's interesting. But it has the Spanish director from Spain, Hector Hernandez Vickens, who you said did The Corpse of Anna Fritz, which, yeah, that was one of my favorite horror films of last year. I know you saw it. I think you saw it too, Eric, but and felt it was effective, even if it wasn't your type of film. It appears this is Lionsgate distribution, January 5th. So, yeah, you're right. It was coming up quick. The cast is folks I don't know much about. I don't know any of these folks. And it was filmed in Bulgaria, which makes sense. A lot of films go to Canada, Bulgaria, Romania, and a few others because it's cheaper to film. I'll probably check it out if it's by this guy, as you said, Mike, because I liked his last film. So Yeah, I'm interested. Anybody else interested, even if it is another zombie film?
I'll probably catch it on rental.
I'll keep an eye on it.
Yeah, yeah, same here. Yeah.
No, it could just be that this is his get his foot in the door for the American audience, right? You know, it's who knows how much of his, you know, this is a film that he really lovingly crafted and put a lot of work and effort into versus give me the paycheck. But we'll see.
Right, right. Wiki calls it a remake of Day of the Dead. So technically, even though it's called Day of the Dead : Bloodline, it's technically supposed to be a remake. Who knows? $8 million budget. So, I'm curious. My last film, since it's me, and I'm going to go because we were talking about it just a little while ago. Sophie's film, X-Men, Dark Phoenix.
Ooh.
Anything with Sophie's in it, I got to see it. And she...
Except you still haven't seen X-Men Apocalypse, so that's not true.
Well, that's a fair point. Like, I have not seen it yet. but I heard she's just a supporting role in that, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So this one, she's going to be the star. Unlike what Eric says, I think she's a fantastic actress. What she's done in Game of Thrones is phenomenal, in my opinion. Plus, she is a hot actress, both hipness and looks.
Of course.
And though I'm not a huge fan of superhero films, I am a big fan of Sophie Turner as an actress, and we'll definitely check this out. So November comes out, November 2nd, I think I said earlier, and that is a film I will be happy to see.
Do you know who's directing it?
I do not. Don't know much about it, Mike.
Because I get the sense that Bryan Singer is not going to be directing much for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, I think he's kaput. And so he's actually directing this film?
I don't know. That's what I'm asking.
Oh, all right. I'll check right now. Because
he's the one who directed Apocalypse, which wasn't very good, but he's also the one who directed Days of Future Past, which I thought was good.
Right.
So.
Yeah, and then he got yanked off his last film, so I think he's kaput based off of some issues. It's actually by a guy named Simon Kinberg. British-born American screenwriter and producer. He wrote Doug Liman's film Mr. and Mrs. Smith. He wrote the Sherlock Holmes films with what's-his-face in it?
Benedict Cumberbatch?
Yeah, and the other guy. The guy that played Iron Man, right? He was in it, too. Blake Watson.
Oh, no, we're talking about two different things.
Oh, okay. So the Sherlock Holmes is the one that...
You're talking about the TV series, Eric.
Yes.
Yeah. No. He did the one with Robert Downey Jr. and Jude Law. Those films. So he wrote Sherlock Holmes. He wrote Mr. and Mrs. Smith. He was a producer on Cinderella, the Disney film, and The Martian. And this, I think, is he went to Brown University. I think this is his directorial debut. Yes, it is. So that'll be curious, Mike, to see what that means. He did produce Murder on the Orient Express, and he wrote some of the other X-Men films as well. But either way, so here's another guy that they grabbed out of no man's land and gave him the director role. We'll see how that goes. So yeah, it's not Bryan Singer. I think everybody's prepared and already moved beyond him, which is probably a good thing, and not because of what he may or may have not done, but just for the fact that, like you said, Mike, his last couple of films were just mediocre anyway, Bryan Singer stuff. So maybe they need fresh blood, similar to what they're doing with the New Mutants. All right, so that's pretty much our most anticipated films. I do have a quick list of other films that I'll just read that we didn't talk about. 1921, 1974, Anders Manor, The Blob remake, a film called Cadaver, a film called Corbin Nash, Crepitus, which sounds like a sci-fi monster flick, The Crooked Man, which is in the universe of The Conjuring, Daphne and Velma, which is the Scooby-Doo spinoff that I think is another one of those Netflix films that are just going to be dropped, is what I'm told.
I'm just kind of hoping it'll be a late-night Cinemax film.
All right. Death House, which me and Mike saw. Deep, what's that called, Mike? It's called like the action film that had all the people in it, and Death House is supposed to be that version, the horror version of that.
Expendables.
Yeah, right. The Expendables of Horror is what they call. Deep Blue Sea 2, a film called Delirium, Demon House, Devil's Gate, Firestarter reboot, or remake, I should say. Eric mentioned Game Night. Gahanna, Where Death Lies. Ghosts of War, Goosebumps, Horrorland, the sequel. The Grudge reboot. We discussed Halloween. The Hatred, Hellfest, House That Jack Built, House with a Clock in Its Walls, In Fabric, Incident in a Ghostland, Insidious, we're going to talk about, Invisible Man reboot, which may be kaput now, Mike, right? Jeepers Creepers 3, Little Monsters, The Little Stranger, Lodgers, Lords of Chaos, Lurker, Mumma 2, Midnight Man, Monster Party, Nosferatu remake, as we discussed, The Office Uprising, Open House, Polaroid, Primal Rage, Puppet Master sequel, A Purge 4 sequel, Ready Player One, the Spielberg flick, Return of Killer Clowns from Outer Space in 3D, a sequel, Rock Paper Dead,
That's the dumbest title ever!
A film called Scream, which I don't know anything about except that it's a common name. Selfie from Hell.
Oh!
Shadow Within, Sky Sharks, Slaughterhouse Rules with a Z, rules instead of an S, it's a Z. Slice, Snowblind, Strain 100, Strangers 2, so the sequel to Strangers. Suspiria remake, Trick or Treat 2, the sequel. Truth or Dare, The Turning, Venom, the spinoff from the Spider-Man films, Wolfman reboot, and then Wuthering Heights, based off of the Bronte sister novel. So a Wolfman reboot, that as well as the Invisible Man, both may be dead, but at least that's a small list. There was another like 300 films I saw, but I just grabbed a few of them and put them in.
There were a few I wanted to mention. You hit most of them there, Phil, but one you did not. Is they're doing a Tomb Raider movie starring Alicia Vikander, looks like it's going to be much better than the Angelina Jolie movies. So I'm looking forward to that.
If I had remembered that, that would have been my first film to mention tonight.
I do want to point out, Phil, about your film list being maybe a little out of date, is that Jeepers Creepers 3 has been out for a while now.
Is it actually on VOD where people can watch it?
I think so.
I'm pretty sure I saw it somewhere, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right, because I thought it was pushed back to January for VOD, but maybe I made a mistake. So, yeah, that's a old list, I guess. Any other films anybody wanted to mention or think of that, just on a list that we didn't talk about tonight that you had on your list? Okay, so we hit everybody's list. That's pretty good. Chrissy, you took two of my films, so I didn't have to even worry about that.
No, actually, I think I stole three of your films, Phil, let's be fair.
Oh, what was the other one?
I don't know. Maybe there were only two.
Yeah, maybe it was three. Yeah, either way.
I thought it was Slender. It was the Slender Man.
Yeah.
You had Winchester on yours, didn't you?
Yeah, that was there. Yeah.
A Quiet Place,
yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Oh, and you stole Jurassic World from me, so we're even.
Yeah, we're even. So the films we discussed tonight were, in the order we brought them up, was The Doll, The Predator, Winchester, Mum and Dad, Jurassic World 2, The Nun, Annihilation, A Quiet Place, Cloverfield 3, The God Particle, as well as Overlord, J.J. Abrams' other film, Thelma, the Norwegian film, Halloween reboot or sequel, Rampage, Hold the Dark, The Meg, Fashionista, two Nosferatu films, Dead Snow 3, Slender Man, The New Mutants, The Bad Man, Insidious Last Key, Game Night, Unsane, Day of the Dead Bloodlines, and X-Men Dark Phoenix. So, there's a lot of films coming out, and I think most of the films that we mentioned tonight are actually probably going to actually make theaters this year, Eric. Whether any good.
I hope so.
Yes. Yeah. So, because otherwise this episode will be as irrelevant as all the other ones we've done.
Right.
Indeed. Our 2017 best of and review and all that is coming out later, a couple of weeks from now. So look for that. But until then, Eric, why don't you lead us out?
All right. Thanks for tuning in and listening. Let's take a look forward to 2018. Come back next week. We'll have another topic.
One, two, three.
That was a good one.
Yeah, definitely.
I like that one.
For sure.
I think we have to stick with that one.
Cool. Mm-hmm.